from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Whether you're a duck or whether you're a beaver, your fantasy team needs a new receiver. It's Danny and Dusty at lunchtime every day. Maybe you're a tortured fan of Rip City. Danny and Dusty are here to take pity, hoping there's not a center with bad knees on the way. Talking noon till 3, Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Yep, I'm singing again, 'cause they haven't said I can't. Danny and Dusty love the teams the rest of us revile. Raising a Blazers banner would make it all worthwhile. Noon till 3,
an Odyssey station.
Hour number 2, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. A little college football. Look, this is popping up on social medias. I can't find it, but apparently there's some Ohio State folks and fans and whatnots that seem to believe that Joel Klatt has said on some outlet that the Oregon-Ohio State game will be a 4:30 kick Pacific on NBC. October 12th. This guy, Tony Gerdeman, who is a beat writer for Buckeye Huddle. Don't know what that is. Few other places have said that Joel Klatt has said that. I don't know if he may have gone on like local Columbus radio and thrown that out there, but that's notable.
It's weird that we don't have the times for these games yet, though.
TV windows, man.
I mean, it's just like, well, I mean,
they
those.
Wanna, they want to make sure. Yeah, put the big, give the, us the big dogs.
Like, we know, like. Not that nothing can happen, but the likelihood of anything happening before that weekend.
Yeah. Well, or give us flex scheduling like they do in the NFL.
Yes.
If you're going to give us this 10-day window, give us what you think it's going to be,
so we can
and then
our,
you can go hot route later.
Yeah. Look, if something disgusting happens and the Ducks get upset heading into that game and you change the time, so be it. But the likelihood of that happening is like less than one half of 1%. So let's just go ahead and put the freaking time out there.
Put the time out there. Give us our times.
Let's
give
go.
Us our times. All right. Groundbreaking deal in the world of college football today. The University of Alabama has set the market for college football front offices. Courtney Martin is the general manager of the University of Alabama football program. He will make $825,000 a year as the GM of a college football team, which is a massive pay bump. Courtney, by the way, was he was the GM for University of Washington under Kalen DeBoer. And remember, the secret to the sauce of UW success a year ago was getting everybody to come back for one more run, right? It's not just Kalen DeBoer. It's not just, you know, Ryan Grubb as offensive coordinator. Sure. There was so much more that went into keeping that roster together. And the general managers of these college football programs are becoming more and more important with every passing day.
And particularly with those keeping those guys, why did they stay? Yes, did they want to make another run? You know what else they made? A lot of money.
Make them money.
They made a lot of money staying.
Look, the GM of a college football program is now...
He's your salary cap expert.
He is the second most important person in the program outside of your head coach. And, you know, you and I have had these conversations off the air about what the future is going to look like in the world of college football. And I do believe there is going to be a school that goes out and they hire a front office type to be a head coach instead. Where they go, all right, you deal with all of the stuff that is non-football related. You hire two pit bull recruiters. There's going to be a school that does
yes.
it. That finds a guy who is one of the sharp minds out there that all of these guys have football experience too. They largely, what you're seeing in the quote-unquote front offices of college football programs are guys that have worked their way up the ranks in coaching staffs, who have been interns to GAs, have been around the program, and they say, hey, look, maybe you follow the direction and the pattern of a front office guy. You can cross the T's and dot the I's, and you're a good collaborator and coordinator of all of these other things. Now, this is where you can grow the most and maximize. There's going to be a school that says, hey, because we're careening down this path in college football. The old guys who don't want to be a part of the NIL landscape, Mike Gundy, who told his team last week, hey, tell your agents to stop calling me. And we're not negotiating. And we actually have that interaction. That Mike Gundy, this is Mike Gundy just last week talking with his players about the rigmarole that they're all going through and what they're trying to get.
That's what I told the players. That, you can just, there's no negotiating now. Portal's over. You can enjoy, all negotiations history. Now we're playing football.
You can enjoy
just coaching and playing football.
Conference and a 12-team playoff and everything being so different, just the newness of it all.
Yeah, and you know, the business side of what we do now is we have to have those conversations with them. You know, tell your agent to quit calling us and asking for more money. It's non-negotiable now. You know, start again in December. So now we're able to direct ourselves just at football, and that part is fun because there's been so much other stuff going on that's been hard to really focus on football.
Head coach shouldn't handle that.
No. No.
And so the micromanagers, the guys who've been head coaches for a really long time, they're getting out of that. And you look at the new age of head coach, there is a line of delineation between football and that business side.
This is the Chip Kelly of the world. If you're a program that you love Chip Kelly and you want him to be your offensive-minded head coach, he doesn't like recruiting and he doesn't like dealing with the BS. So what do you do in the modern era if you want to shake up your program? Let's say I'm going to take a random program here that's like been good over the last couple of years, but they've lost some coaches, and then they're probably going to fall back down. Tulane. Let's say Tulane, who has a lot of money, decides we want to get into the big-time college football. We know we can't go hire away one of the top five coaches in college football. But what if we go to Chip Kelly and we go, Chip, we want you to come here and be a head coach again and be a head coach like you were 10 years ago. To not deal with everything. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go hire one of the top 15 general managers. We're going to throw so much money at him, we're going to make it impossible for him to say no. And that guy is going to go out and hire absolute animal recruiters to where they run stuff by you, but otherwise, they handle it. And we're going to get an NIL and a collective because we have a crap ton of money at this little tiny school that has, I think it's like one of the higher tuition rates in the country still, and go, we're going to give you a pipeline, and we're down here in the South, and we're gonna be a real program. I think there's going to be a school like that.
Yep.
That has the resources, that's kind of dabbled, but goes, okay, we can't go get the best coach. We can't go get the best recruiter. But what we can do is we can set up a system financially and in a business sense, set it up to where it's almost like an enterprise resource management, where you set up a system from beginning to end to process all of your incoming and outgoing requests, to where whether it's dealing with NIL, whether it's dealing with recruiting, whether it's dealing with sponsorships, all of it, whether it's dealing with alumni, boosters, all of it. This guy, this becomes the president of your company.
Yep.
And that guy goes and does everything for you. Your football coach does football. So you don't, like, Dan Lanning being able to be the CEO, Nick Saban being able to be the CEO, those guys are rare. Kirby Smart, Dabo, like, but what isn't as rare is a football coach who's a football coach.
Yeah.
And it allows you, I think, to find some, not necessarily loopholes, but kind of min-max, like how you can get the most out of something.
That's going to happen at some point.
Yep.
You will see, like right now, the chief of staff for Oregon is Marshall Malkow, right? He came from Bama, Georgia, Texas A&M at Oregon. He is that business side of Oregon's football. And he and Lanning are like connected at the hip, right? Like, there's a reason why he came up from A&M, where they had all the resources in the world, when Lanning got the head job, is because Lanning saw the value of having a guy like that,
mm-hmm.
and saying, all right, we need somebody that checks every box outside of football. And I think you're right in that there's going to be a school that goes, we are going to hire this guy who can handle all that other stuff, and he's going to have the lead role of the entire corporation, mm-hmm. that is our football program. And then basically our offensive and defensive coordinators, they get to run those units separately, but they report to our guy who's a CEO,
mm-hmm.
and he's not the guy that is a traditional football coach who works up from position coach to coordinator to head coach. There will be a school that goes this route.
It's a former football player that goes and works for UPS or FedEx for 20 years and goes, I understand the business, the logistics, the process, the operations management.
And that is, there are coordinators that are going to want to coach under that guy,
mm-hmm.
because they can say, I can do what I want. I can learn from him as well. And if I just want to coach football and that's all I want to do, I can do that.
And there are so many. How many coaches are out there like, God, if I could just coach football.
I don't want to deal with the BS.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with the BS.
I just want the football.
That is, we're careening down that path.
I think a smart school will do this.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason I went with Tulane.
It's not going to be a traditional power. It's not going to be a blue blood.
No.
It's going to be somebody different.
Somebody with money and somebody with prestige. They're going to get somebody in some position of power who goes, why aren't we doing this?
Yep.
And they go, why don't we try to exploit this particular thing?
And I'm going down the list of Oklahoma State's football staff and their support staff. They do not have a chief of staff. They do not have a general manager.
Yeah, how much was Gundy making a year?
They don't. They have a director of football operations. Which every school has that.
Gundy's 7.5.
7.5 million.
Yeah.
They're saying, do it all, dude.
Yeah.
Do it all, dude.
Look, man, a million's a lot of money, but I'd gladly give him a mil if I could just do the thing.
Take that
million and go hire a GM to go do the other stuff.
But a lot of these coaches are such control freaks. They
can't let it go.
They don't have the trust in somebody else to do it. And I think that's why you see Bama give Courtney Morgan $825,000, is because Kalen DeBoer has that trust in him. Because
USC came calling. They tried to snipe him.
Yep, USC tried to do it. And I think that also indicates an awareness from USC that they can't handle this right now.
Because Lincoln can't handle it.
And Lincoln Riley is one of those coaches who is that micromanager.
Mm-hmm. He also wants to just do the football.
No doubt about it. All right, there is one other news tidbit from Oklahoma State, though, because Mike... Mike Gundy may say, "We're done negotiating. This is all off." But they are the first college football program to do this. Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Wonder how much action Oklahoma State's going to get out of this one. The Cowboys are going to be putting a 1.5-inch square QR code on the back of each player's helmet.
Toss a coin to your Witcher.
What'd you say?
Did you ever watch that show, The Witcher?
No.
I don't even know
what that's about.
It's from a video game, but...
The Witcher?
Yeah, it was a really good show. Okay. With Henry Cavill.
The Witcher.
Netflix. Yeah. Yeah. It was really good.
The Witcher.
But there's a bard that does a song of toss a coin to your Witcher.
Yeah, that's a Game of Thrones-y show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Fun little show if you want to get into
it. Still haven't seen it. But throw a coin to the Witcher, huh?
Yeah.
We'll do that.
I dare you to hear that song and not have it stuck in your head.
Yeah.
It's impossible to get out of your head.
That's okay. I'll take the zero, teacher.
Mm. Putting a QR code on the back of a helmet...
Mm.
Is it brilliant or stupid?
I mean...
I think it's brilliant.
I do, too.
It's the same thing that, like, you see in College Game Day, where they're holding up the signs in the back with their Venmo QR code on it. It's the same kind of thing.
What did it cost you?
And
literally
people,
nothing.
Kids that do that apparently rake in the dough, like need beer money.
Yeah.
QR code it, and people around the country are like, yeah, I'll give a buck.
Yeah.
I'll give you a buck.
Like bridal parties are doing that. You'll see some, you know, lady driving down, you know, buy the bride a drink and have their Venmo on the back there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I don't like.
And now that T. Boone Pickens is dead, rest in peace, he is no longer, you know, Mr. Moneybags for the
Monopoly
Cowboys.
Man.
Yeah, that's right. I think it is a really smart plan, because they will get some people to do it. It's going to be really hard to do, though, because the only way that they're going to get a big push out of this is if there's a close-up of the back of a player's helmet, somebody has their phone out and takes that picture on TV. Now, where does that QR card code go? It goes directly to the NIL fund for Oklahoma State.
Yeah, it doesn't
athletics.
Go to that individual player. Just,
no.
It's all the same fund.
I'm telling you, the future may be... players having individual QR codes on the back of their helmets and it going straight into their pocket someday. And if
tip your running back after a 9-yard
there
game.
Will be a player, because I've already had this thought, and I know college me would have had this thought immediately. I'm replacing that decal with my Venmo QR code on the back of my helmet.
Yeah. I was going to say, so are these for individual players or for the collective?
It's for the collective. Okay, it goes to the general fund of Oklahoma State. But for the player who goes and says, I'm putting my personal Venmo QR on the back of this helmet, and it's going to look like it. Nobody's going to be checking the back of your helmet to make sure your QR code is legit every single
game.
Just
go find somebody who's really good at these and be like, see if you can generate one that's like one pixel off.
Yeah.
So you just can't even really tell.
Yeah. Just go ahead and
get weird.
And just kind of boop, see what you can do. Now, I wouldn't have gotten any money out of it because I wasn't good. But if there's going to be a really good player that does it, and if you are, you know, Ollie Gordon, if you're Ollie Gordon, put your personal Venmo on there. Yes. Just see. Just to see what happens.
Like I said, you get a first down, get a tip.
Is the NCAA going to pop you for that? No. Like, you're just sitting there like, I just put my own Venmo on the back of my helmet. I don't know. Is that a uniform violation? Everybody else has all these QR codes. I mean, just see what you can do. And what if you're Ollie Gordon, what are they going to do, suspend you?
Yeah.
Fine, I'll still be the first running back off the board next spring.
There's somebody in the NCAA who's going to be like, I'm going to check all of these QR codes on TV. He's going to like pause each time and scan just to double check.
Yeah, and you know what? You better donate if it goes to some kid's Venmo account because that's brilliant. That is capitalism at its finest. I'm going to cut out the middleman here.
I mean, it's people will make fun of it, but... And it's not going to generate that much money, but I bet you by the end of the season, it generates a couple $1,000 for nothing.
It will.
For nothing. It's going to cost you maybe $100 to have all those printed out.
Yeah.
Maybe. Because you're probably going to put new ones on.
They're throwing that change out.
Yeah.
Like, that is pocket change.
It's nothing.
For a college football program to get those details.
Why not?
I think they are the first. They are not going to be the last.
No.
Everybody's going to start doing this, and it's really smart by Oklahoma State to do.
Who is the team that has the sponsorship on the field now? They were the first ones to put the sponsor on the field, like in the playing surface.
I don't know. A lot of schools do. Like,
well, conferences do.
No, like the University of Washington, they have Alaska Airlines right on the like the opposite 25 of where the conference logo is. Because it's Alaska Airlines Field.
Yeah, there was somebody else that sold their rights, though. They were the first team to sell their rights in college football for a particular thing on the field, and I can't remember what it was.
Huh. Yeah. I don't know.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah, they got UW does have the old Alaska Airlines there. Or at least they did. They get rid of that? Were they forced to get rid of that? I have no idea. But that's one of the things, too. Don't try to tell me that the L.A. Coliseum is the United Airlines L.A. Coliseum.
It was Tennessee. They did Pilot. Gas
Pilot
stations.
Flying J?
Yeah. So
the Haslam family. Big boosters.
Yes. They
and governor of Tennessee.
So this is not a field sponsorship. It's a actual buying a sponsorship on the field. There is a differentiation between the two.
Okay. Yeah,
so,
sell it all.
Yeah, this is the first year you've been able to do that, and Tennessee is the first team to capitalize on it.
The checkerboard end zone is going to have like a Pilot Flying J logo in it, like each check mark.
Look, I don't really have a problem with this.
I don't either.
Like, it was like, I don't want our jerseys to look like soccer jerseys. Like, look, most soccer jerseys are fine with their advertisements. Some of them are egregious. It's like, what? Why are there 37 logos on here? Chill.
I don't like the whole. But soccer is so different in that, you know, they're not, it's a Liverpool FC, right? Like, it's not, you don't have like a team mascot for most of them that is so closely identified. It's not like, you know, the Seattle Seahawks. It's just Liverpool FC. So they throw on a massive logo in the middle of their jersey and that's fine. I'm okay with the jersey patches. The NBA ones are not intrusive at all.
No, God, you don't even notice they're there. No, the Blazers haven't had one for 2 years.
Major League Baseball's are not intrusive on the sleeve. Well, most of them aren't. But
you can also pay $45 to have one put on at Yankee Stadium.
God, yeah, I saw that. It's like, who's going to do that?
To make it authentic.
Nobody's going to do that. Don't do that.
No, don't be the person that does that.
Dude, got my jersey patch too. Sweet, bruh. Yeah, so dumb. Don't do that. But I would have a problem if, like, instead of, you know, New York across the Yankees jerseys, it had their sponsor logo across the chest. No, I don't want that. Yeah, just Futurama reference. Yeah. The Witcher and Futurama coming through in one segment for you. Look at that.
The peak of television.
Yeah. I think Oregon's probably kicking themselves that they didn't do this. Like, they're like, oh, crap, we're supposed to be the innovative ones on this, on this front. We should have done that.
A QR code that's just a swoosh.
Ooh.
You can have
But that. How do you know what to take the picture of? How do you, you know, you just taking the picture of the swoosh and then all of a sudden you take a picture of an Oregon player and all of a sudden it just automatically redirects you.
Yeah. The uniform itself is just like an actual QR code, the reflective panels on it. Those aren't actually wings. Those are QR codes all spliced together.
Hey, great point on the Vancouver Ford text line, too. 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at VancouverFord.com. Soccer has the big sponsor jersey spots because they don't have commercial breaks. I'll take that every time.
Yes, 100%. Soccer uninterrupted is which is beautiful. They start on time, and it's uninterrupted.
You know when you're going to be getting home.
100%. Every single time. Even with 7 minutes of stoppage time, you're totally, like, fine.
See, I kind of, it's like, but like going to a baseball game is like when you go golfing. It's like, I don't know when it's going to get over, you know?
I'll be home at 5:30.
Sorry, honey.
8 o'clock.
Ooh. Yeah, it went around. You should have seen the guys playing in front of me. You should have seen that bullpen. It was atrocious.
What was it yesterday?
Had 17 the Braves
put up 11 in the final three innings?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Hey, sorry.
Got to the bullpen?
You know me. I stay till the end. Oh. I stay to the end all the time. I can't be messing around with this. We're not gonna go down that road. Good for you, Oklahoma State. Now all those agents can start calling Mike Gundy again because he's found some more cash.
There you go. You guys can fight over the QR code crumbs.
Perfect.
Right?
That's how negotiations start. Oh. QR codes.
Just go with the full Batman reference. Break the pool cue.
Oh, so now we have three movie references in one segment. Look at you. I'm doing the Lord's work right there.
Like I said, I'm a man of culture.
Hey, Batman, The Witcher, and Futurama, and we're calling that culture?
Clearly.
It's somebody's.
They all have comics.
It's yours. They all have comics.
That's called popular culture.
Popular culture. Jeopardy, guys. Popular culture is my favorite Jeopardy because I get them right, they get them wrong. You know, sports and pop culture, I'm in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, come on, idiot. You didn't know that?
I mean, 16th...
What's that Harvard education for?
16th century French literature? Not for me.
I'll take anal bum cover for 400, please, Alex. Yeah.
That's an album cover, you moron. Please stop.
About the penis mightier for 200.
The pen is mightier. This should be interesting.
Speaking of interesting, you know what happens when you take sleeping pills?
Yeah, you go to sleep.
Well, for everybody not named Gosser Churlis, maybe.
We'll don't get to that. Know that person.
Yeah, you will here in a second. We'll get that more on our worst day on the web. But first, here's the big Kuno Sports and Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
Real quick, poll of the room. Have you taken, either of you taken Ambien?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Yeah.
I'll do the occasional like melatonin gummy or something, but.
I had problems sleeping. When I had my ankle surgery, so I was prescribed some Ambien.
Any adverse side effects?
Yeah, I would hallucinate.
Yeah,
Trip
balls.
Yeah. It was not for me.
No,
And Ambien do not get along.
So Ambien isn't something that's really out there too much now. I think it's Zoloft and what's the other sleeping pill? There's another sleeping pill that's out there, but
melatonin's great though.
Yeah, that I also like gummies.
I don't think you're taking melatonin, Danny.
There's probably some melatonin in there. I'll check the ingredients.
What would indica that?
Yeah. My point being, when you talk about sleeping pills and sleeping medications in general, they can mess you up. I unfortunately know somebody that took their own life because of the side effects of Ambien, like trip balls so much that it like caused them to have a mental breakdown. And
yikes.
Ultimately. Yeah. So
a little different than the penguins I saw dancing on my television.
Yeah. Like, so for those that don't know, like this stuff was originally developed for military members to get their like mandatory crew rest. That's what this was for. Like, this is like, okay, we need to have guys that make sure they get their sleep, but can still be mission ready. And so, like most things, you kind of use it as a test subject in the military, and it worked mostly, but it had side effects. There's still, even like the dialed back versions of sleeping pills now, people still have adverse side effects. And that is what, this is like a dark way to get into this worst day on the web. Gazza Cherlis, former NFL player, was on a, he was a first round pick of the Lions in 2008.
Oh, yep.
Cherlis, okay. Ringing a bell now?
Yep.
He was on a flight from Boston to Dublin. And, well, he peed on somebody. He allegedly drunkenly hit one man and urinated on another.
Pretty sure this one's going to be pretty.
Well, and I believe he urinated on an elderly woman.
Ah, it says person here. So,
okay.
Just did not highlight.
So he took an Ambien, went on the plane, probably drank a little bit if we're being honest.
Yeah, look, if you add booze to those things, they can be sideways.
And then ended up peeing on a woman on this plane. I wonder if that defense is going to hold up in court.
I mean,
you know, because there is so much evidence that it really does. It makes you hallucinate. People have horrible like sleepwalking episodes, and you know, I can see this happening. I could totally if I'm a reasonable like juror, I'm going to be like.
It's probably not going to get you out of it entirely.
No, but I'm not going to send you to jail. Like, I'm not going to send you to jail for it.
No.
Like, if a dude just gets hammered on a plane and drops trow and pees on somebody.
You're getting the disorderly conduct and whatever that comes along with that.
Like, sure. Right.
Like, if it is quite literally like, hey, no, the sleeping medication. Look, it's a safe thing to say. Oh, no, it's my sleeping medication. But if it was, like.
Well, it's like the same thing, though, like with alcohol, though, like. I mean, it's a controlled substance,
yeah.
I guess.
And the thing is, you're responsible for who you are. But also, like, again, I'm not making an excuse for him. But if he did take this, and let's say this was the first time taking it, buddy, that stuff can be something. Especially, like, look, you're not supposed to drink alcohol with any medications. But if we're on a flight, what's something you do?
You have a drink, especially a long flight.
Boston to Ireland.
That's a long flight.
Yeah.
It's across the ocean.
It's like 5.5-6 hours.
Is that really it?
I mean, it's think about how far north you are.
Yeah, true. Good point.
I mean, that's the same distance from here to Boston.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's about a 12-hour flight from here to London. So,
all right. I trusted your math. I trust your math.
I think I'm doing my math right.
That Atlantic Ocean, though. Come on, step your game up. There's no way you're getting to Japan that fast from here.
Oh, no. Well, Japan's like 14 hours.
See? Pacific Ocean, way bigger.
Boston, Dublin, 6 hours, 10 minutes. Yeah.
Suck on that East Coast bias.
Yeah, no. The
our ocean's bigger.
Oh, God, yeah. No, it's Portland to Japan. Flight time is, roughly 14 hours nonstop.
There we go. So, there we go.
Depends on what city you're going to, which prefecture. Okay. But old Cherlis here, he this is from the judge. It's pretty egregious what you did, as alleged. Cherlis has since issued an apology saying he took a sleeping medication that I normally don't use, which resulted in behavior that is not representative of my character.
Yeah, great point on the Vancouver Four text line. Is he a Florida State alum? Is he there for the Florida State?
Ooh.
Georgia Tech? Is that who they play this weekend? Yeah. Did he play for either of those schools? Because that's going to make this even better.
No, he went to BC.
Yeah, Boston College.
Oh, dang it.
I feel like that's an upset.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's just going to vacation over in Dublin then.
I mean, Boston College is also kind of an Irish school.
Oh, because of the Irish population in Boston. Yeah. From Boston.
Yeah, I mean, Churlis, not Irish.
No. Don't care, though.
I'm just saying, in general.
Just go over there, but hey, hang out.
Look, if you're a football fan, as much as I kind of like roll my eyes at Florida State, Georgia Tech playing in Dublin, if I had a chance to go watch, like if they ever played, they'll never do it, but if they ever played USC Notre Dame in Ireland,
mm-hmm.
Oh, dude, that'd be a point of viewing. The whole idea of like watching a like, good college football overseas would be pretty rad.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would be really cool. 2025, all right? So this year we get Florida State and Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. Next year we get Iowa State, Kansas State. That's the weirdest one. And then we get Pitt, Wisconsin in 2027. No 2026 game.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Average attendance for these games, 42,000.
Oh, yeah. No, they're stuffing them in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that we're coming. We're coming for Europe.
Look, the Irish, they love their rugby. So yeah. Them liking American football is not surprising.
First ever game in Ireland, Boston College versus Army. November 19th, 1988.
God, it was that long ago, huh?
89, you had Pitt-Rutgers. 96, Notre Dame-Navy. 2012, when they restarted the Ireland series. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame-Navy. Then Penn State, Central Florida, Georgia Tech-Boston College. Northwestern, Nebraska last year, or 2 years ago. Last year was Notre Dame-Navy again.
Was last year the beer snake?
No.
I think it was 2 years ago we had the beer snake.
That was right? Northwestern Nebraska, yeah, because yeah. that was like the Scott Foster's cooked game. And Scott Frost's cooked game.
Yep.
And then it was all of the debit card
point
machines went down.
And they gave away free beer.
And it was a cashless event. And so they're like, I guess free beer. Our concession stand stateside would just shut down. They were like, yeah, we're just going to give it away.
Like, think about that. What would happen here?
What a move.
If they just gave the beer away.
The same thing that happened there, which was chaos.
Theirs was structured chaos. Look, the Irish know how to be.
But I think that if you were to do it, like, if you 10-cent beer night
mm-hmm.
For the White Sox was an absolute disaster because everybody went there with the plan.
That's
the
true.
Plan was for just to go absolutely nuts. $1 gets you 10 beers. Like, yeah, I'm in. $5 down. I'm getting 50 beers. Right? That was everybody went in with a plan. I think if you had, it would be chaos. Don't get me wrong. But I think it would be more organized chaos than 10-cent beer night was. I don't think it would be as aggressive or egregious because there's the element of people pregame beforehand and they go in with the mentality. And sometimes you get those people that are going sheerly for to cause destruction and get absolutely blasted. So I think it would cut down on a little bit of that. Plus, I think you're a little bit different. Yeah, I think you're right on this one. The fans of Northwestern and Nebraska that went over there, they're not you don't travel that far to just get so blacked out you don't remember the game or remember anything. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with a little bit of a higher class of person.
Yeah.
As opposed to if it was just stateside.
You had Georgia Tech, Florida State fan?
A student section, for example. A student section of this, and it would get a little sideways.
Yeah.
But they'd just shut it down. We can't handle our booze.
No.
We know that.
Part of it also is that Ireland, it's particularly that area, it's you walk.
Yeah.
It's not a...
Walk it off, baby.
It's not like, you know, you're in at Florida State, where the stadium's out in the swamp and you got to drive back to wherever you're coming from.
Yeah.
If you're in old Dublin, you're going for a walk.
Yeah. So, all right. The Aer Lingus College Football Classic, baby. Saturday.
It's here, baby.
I can't wait.
God, I'm so excited.
I am too. I'm so excited.
I'm going to lock in and watch.
Yeah. Like, I hope you do. 9 a.m. kick. Let's go. It's a big noon.
9:15, 9:30 kick.
Oh, you think they're going to kick that? I want to watch the festivities.
Oh, yeah.
I want to watch
the
Irish national anthem.
But, I mean, the kick's going to be late. Come on. Do you think the Irish look at this and go, This said it kicked off at 9. Why is it 9:40?
100%.
Like, what are you doing?
Well, maybe because it is over there, they're like, no, we actually start our sporting events on time.
Ireland,
so
like,
we're going to do it.
Tapping the watch.
Get that damn ball on the tee. Let's go.
I would love to see that.
Let's get this thing going, toot sweet. Let's
go.
The
refs over there yelling at the TV folks, like, I don't care. Get it going.
Yeah.
We got places to be.
No. This is not how we operate here. They're all going to leave after 90 minutes. Like, is this thing over yet?
No, you're halfway.
Yeah.
You're halfway in.
Yeah, we got 3 more quarters, guys. Like, it's 90 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to hell.
My favorite kind of hell.
Right? Speaking of hell, Anthony Edwards has put himself in hell. We'll get to that and more here, coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. All right. It's official. I'm getting tired of Anthony Edwards.
All right. Tell me why. Tell me why.
I have my biases against Anthony Edwards for his off-the-court preclusions as far as being a guy that you can trust. Send a video. Look.
Send a video.
It doesn't make him any better or worse than anybody else. He's a dumb kid with a bunch of money who's out there sleeping with a lot of women. It happens. That doesn't make him any better or worse as a leader. He's very immature in everything
absolutely.
That he does. Is he very talented? Yes. Is he also very inefficient? Yes.
Bring your ass.
He's funny. He's engaging. But he has this cult-like following behind him who wants to compare him to Michael Jordan without actually ticking the boxes of being that good or having all of the other stuff that goes along with it.
Yeah, they're like that dog in him, the ability to... I think one thing that Jordan does not get enough credit for is being malleable to what an opponent was giving him to take. Because he would take whatever it was from you. Mostly he'd just snatch your soul and just rip it away from you. But like the Blazer in the finals against the Blazers, when he hits 5 threes, right? Jordan wasn't a good shooter. But he had that ability to, when his team needed him to, whatever it was needed, he had the ability to take it. And that Ant Edwards does some things that look like Michael Jordan, right? When he takes it from free throw line extended and he drives into the lane, puts his foot in the ground and spins around and has a fadeaway jumper from 15 feet. Yeah, that looks like Michael Jordan because he's strong, powerful, quick, and he has that release that kind of looks like it. He's no Michael Jordan, and nobody should ever think that he is compared to Michael Jordan unless you're sharing the meme on social media where it's the side-by-side and it says, hey, is Ant Edwards Michael Jordan's kid? Because that's funny. That's funny. They do look so much alike.
They do, and then when they do the side-by-side, it's blah, blah, blah.
Shave the head, though. He is no Michael Jordan.
No, and what he said in an interview with the Wall Street Journal is just so egregious. I don't know what to do. Like, there's this fundamental misunderstanding of the pushback against Jordan played against plumbers, and then also when you watch the tape going, oh, the guys back then were pretty good. Like, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird were them. Yeah. Like, they were very much them, right? But, like, listen to this and tell me that this sounds like if you just put, like, Ant Edwards Muse on Twitter, if you can tell a difference between him or a Twitter account.
I can't find it. Can you play it?
We have the audio.
What, Ant Edwards?
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's no audio. It just came from the interview.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it back in the day, so I can't speak on it. They say it was tougher back then than it is now, but I don't think anybody had skill back then. Jordan was the only one that really had skill. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh.
So that's why when they say Kobe, they were like, oh my God, but now everybody has skill. It's like, okay, but real quick, the most skilled big men in NBA history are?
Well, I would say Hakeem Olajuwon is probably the most skilled big man in NBA history.
Number two is probably Kevin McHale.
Jack Sigma, anybody? Mm-hmm. There's a move called Sigma. And this is the thing that I don't think Ant Edwards realizes, that all of these
the drills
that have names attached to them are former players that were very skilled.
Or Mikan. Your Mikan drill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, The Dream Shake. Yeah. I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Skyhook.
With the skyhook that was, you could not defend. You know what? Ant, go ahead. Let me see you go through the lane and skyhook and say that it doesn't take skill to do that. How about this, Ant Edwards? Like, even guys that you don't think of as, like, these physically imposing people. You ever heard of John Stockton?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty good.
StatMuse posted this. The most assists in a calendar month in the last 40 seasons. Number one, John Stockton. Number two, John Stockton. Number three, John Stockton. Number four, John Stockton. Number five, John Stockton. Number six, John Stockton. He is the only player in NBA history to crack 225 assists in a month. And he did it six times.
His assist record is Cal Ripken Jr.'s Iron Man streak.
Now,
it will never be touched.
Was Utah doing a little funny business with some of those?
Probably.
Yes.
The same thing they were doing with Russell Westbrook's rebounds.
His triple doubles?
Yeah.
Yeah. The same thing that they were doing with Michael Jordan's stats.
Yeah, it turns out those were gassed up.
The one guy that you say was skilled.
Ding.
There were so many skilled players in the NBA. Are there more skilled players now? Yes, there are. There are. Because you know what? All of those guys who had skills, the secrets got traded. And they continue to be traded. And their regimens and their skill sets have been shared over and over and over again. And the entire off-season workout routine that you have, Ant Edwards, everything that you have done since your childhood, Ant Edwards, has been developed because of the skills of those players and how to continue to share them to more players, grow the game, and become better athletes.
The lack of respect for the OGs, this is becoming a
thing. God, I sounded old.
Yeah, no, we're becoming old. Like I said, you're 40, I'll be 40 in 2 months. But there is, like, this is actually happening.
I hate you both.
Yeah, I know.
While we're at it, get off my porch.
Mm-hmm.
Get off my lawn.
Mm.
All right?
My grass is dead. Leave it alone.
Gosh. What are you playing that loud music for?
But
hurts my ears.
The lack of respect for the previous generation. Like, I don't ever remember growing up in the Jordan era. Like, we all grew up in that era. I don't ever remember looking back and going, you know, those players in the 70s, they were trash.
Yeah, I think there was plenty of it, but it was explained away also, which I think something that Ant Edwards is missing is you try to be skilled when you have somebody riding your back the entire game.
Yeah, and you get mugged going into the lane.
Try getting hand-checked. Try getting a forearm across your chin when you try to drive through the lane. Try playing a hard up and down in a 7-game series and then having Maurice Lucas crack your jaw in the middle of the floor and square up to you. It was a little bit different then, and they've changed the game so skill sets are emphasized a lot more. The individual athleticism is a far greater part of the game now than it was before. Because you know what? I would love to see Ant Edwards play in the 80s, in early 90s, or the 70s in NBA basketball. Would he put up freaky numbers? Absolutely, he would. But you know what else he would do? He'd get beat to hell.
Turns out Jordan rules existed, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the Vancouver Ford text line. Jason Kidd, highly skilled. Was AI not skilled? Both of them. Yes, absolutely. But truly. Elite skills. Magic Johnson, are you kidding me? He was a point center, guys. Like,
is that good?
What are we doing here? But you know what? That is that's the ultimate old man yelling at the clouds from me. And I do believe, though, that what we also had was more of a reverence for those great players. Mm-hmm. Like Kobe Bryant.
That's gone.
Kobe Bryant never, like, Kobe had a lot of flaws, and I hated Kobe Bryant.
But he paid homage and respect to those that came before him.
All
and that's the thing about this is that Ant Edwards isn't doing.
Right.
It's like when I hear somebody younger now go, "Well, that fat Charles Barkley, what does he know? He doesn't win any rings." Like, that's
the
fifth most dominant power forward in the history of the game. But sure, okay.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a top 50 player of all time.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
That is unfortunate that we see that, right? Like, I'm just waiting for the wide receiver to come out and say, Jerry Rice wasn't that good. Like,
No. Oh, one of them just did. One of them did not have Rice in their top five.
Yeah, was that Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, what? Complete dummy.
Yeah. I don't know.
Your receptions and yards record that will, in an era that didn't exist, will never be touched. Like, what are you doing? Why be that voluntarily dumb?
Yeah.
The same thing with Ann Edwards here. Like, the whole idea of, like, oh, all PR is good PR. No. PR that makes you look like a complete a-hole and an idiot is not good PR. It's not good for you. I don't understand it. What I do understand is we have our last day of our first round matchups of our college football rivalry trophies.
Ooh, let's go.
We will reveal our winners from yesterday.
I want to be fair. I don't think it was Justin Jefferson because I'm trying to look it up right. Oh, yep. Nope. Got it right here.
Found it.
Justin Jefferson ranks his top five wideouts of all time. Oh, God. No, these are just, this can't be. He has Devontae. No, this is just currently.
Active.
This
okay.
is currently. Yeah.
There is a current wide receiver in the NFL that had Rice off his top five.
It's not Justin Jefferson. Okay.
Whoever it was astoundingly dumb. Like I said, we will get to our last round, or the last of the first round matchups of the round of 64.
Ooh, let's go.
Put a nice little bow on that here. Coming up in round number three on Danny and Dusty, Tinny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.